This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show on placetobenation.com. Now, here's your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino.
Welcome, and we're live to tape from the Carino Man Boy Cave here in Emerald Isle, North Kakalaka. It's the Steve Carino Show, starring King of Old School Steve Carino and the Boston Strangler himself, Dan McGinn. Steve Carino Show is brought to you every week, free of charge, to the Place to Be Nation. But if you want to contribute, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino and get one of the four Carino-inspired t-shirts, plus two new ones are coming this week. There's going to be a brand new Steve Carino shirt, plus the regular King of Old School 20th anniversary shirt that you should be getting. It's going to be September, people, three more months. Mr. Wrestling 3, PWF, and now two American Tiger shirts. And remember, he's going to college, and he needs your support. So go over to prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino and buy some shit. Allison Danger, former guest and Shimmer star, is making gear. You want to look like a star? Hey, then you need Danger Designs to make you some stuff. Email your design at alliedanger@aol.com. That's A-L-L-I-D-A-N-G-E-R for the people that can't spell, at aol.com. I'm not a big fan of AOL, but who gives a shit? On tonight's show, we got the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, joining us. It's taken a while, taken 18 episodes, but we got Kevin Kelly in the house, and I'm pretty excited. I shouldn't be real excited because, let's face it, I see the guy almost every weekend. He's my roomie, and he puts up a lot of my stuff. I think I'm a big snorer. My wife tells me I'm a big snorer, and I think I am, and I'm starting to wonder if my snoring's become a problem because of professional wrestling. And I'm going to tell you why. A few weeks ago, me and Tiger were in the Midwest. We started out in Milwaukee and then with Green Bay and then some towns in the Chicago area. And right around day three, I think I busted my nose. But, I wear glasses all the time, but my glasses seem to fit better, which is weird. And from then on, I think I've been snoring more and more and more, and I got headaches and everything like that. So I don't know. Maybe the Sunday guy, the ice cream man, gave me a not a concussion, but maybe a brain damage. Hey, if you listened last week, you were hearing live about how I was going to cut the ribbon at the Swansboro Food Lion. I'm gonna bring in. I usually wait a little bit, but let me bring in Dan McGinn. Dan, how you doing tonight?
Good, Steve. How are you? It was a huge weekend for you, from what I can what I've heard, anyway.
No, not for me. It was pretty basic for me. I saved Kevin Kelly's life, but we'll get into that.
Well, yeah, that's what I was alluding to, but I'm sure we'll get to that later.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Now, when we left off last week with Guillotine LeGrand, we were talking about this Food Lion opening, and man, it was something. Now, for just a quick review, last week I got booked at 9:30 at night on a Tuesday night. We tape this on Tuesdays to appear at my local, not even really my local, it's two towns over, Food Lion grocery store for a ribbon cutting at 7:30 the next morning. Like, who goes to a grocery store at 7:30 in the morning? And we found out that really nobody does. So I wake up very early on that morning, and Jordan wants to go. She really wants to go, but then she decides, I have better things to do, like watch paint dry or watch the grass grow. So I take off, and I get there, and I already feel like out of place. I'm in a suit, of course. It's 7:30 in the morning. I walk in. I got a handful of ROH 8x10s to give away. I got a Sharpie, of course, and a PWF flyer, because I'm trying to get my show over. And I get in there, and I walk into the food line, and there was, like, a big circle of employees. And I thought, shit, did I miss this? Oh, no. And so I go over, and I meet the manager, who I've never met before, just through text messages the night before. And he's, you know, he's so happy that that I've come out. As he's saying this, here come the police, the number one guest that never got back to them. Here they come into the store. So the intended guests that never got back to him actually come into the thing. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this guy's going to just tell me to go home. But he doesn't. He's like, oh no, no, why don't you come out here? And all the employees come out, and there's maybe three customers. And they're saying, like, hey, you know, this is going to be a big thing. We're going to be giving out some $10 gift cards. And I'm thinking, wow, I got a payday out of this. This is awesome. And we go, and all of a sudden I see there is six boxes of Dunkin' Donuts. There is a couple things of coffee. And I'm thinking, you know what? This isn't going to be too bad of a thing. So they put my 8x10s right next to the donuts and coffee. Like, we were just talking about how fat I am. And you know, it was going. So after a couple donuts, the chief of police comes. So now there's about seven cops and Steve Carino, 20 employees, three customers. Awkward. So they finally do the rib cutting thing. And I walk over to the chief. I meet the chief. And I'm like, chief, king of old school. And he goes, nice to meet you. I heard a lot about you. I'm thinking, no, Summer Rae, you haven't heard of me at all. But thank you. It helps the ego. So we go, and I go, it's all up to you, man. He goes, oh, no. He's like, you got to grab the top. I got to grab the bottom. Like, yeah, we were lovers cutting this ribbon. And we cut it, and he's like, see you at the next function.
So yeah. If I can channel Chuck here for a minute, he would probably say something to the effect of, wait a minute, so you weren't even the head ribbon cutter, you were a co-ribbon cutter for this event?
Yes, a co-ribbon cutter with the chief of the Swansboro, North Carolina Police Department. And oh, and it gets worse, so, you know... These people, like the guy, the manager introduces me and goes, he is the former ECW and NWA world champion. And everybody goes, wow, NWA, you don't look that old. I'm thinking, yeah, still around, people. Thank you. And so it gets to that point. I'm like, oh, man, this is really bad. So Jordan has to go to work early. She usually works second shift, so... She has to go to work early, and this is on her way to work. So she, you know, she's got to stop by and see this shit. She stops by and she drops the baby off. So now I'm signing autographs to people because now people are coming into the store, not knowing that there was a ribbon coming. They were just coming for their morning groceries, and. I'm thinking, man, this is bad. So I'm signing autographs with my right hand with a 8.5-month-old baby in my left hand. I look like I was running for fucking mayor. So Mayor Steve Carino of Swansboro, North Carolina. It was so awkward, man. And then I jump into my purple van to go home, and it was rough. Sometimes being a pseudo celebrity, but I did get the $10 Food Lion gift card, which I was very impressed at.
That's not a bad payday right there.
Right?
No.
There were some indie guys that were probably real jealous that I got that gig.
I bet.
Yeah, no trans. It didn't cost me anything to get there.
Yeah.
You know, 8 miles from the house, 9 miles from the house.
You got to cut a ribbon?
Yeah. Yeah, I ate three donuts and two cups of coffee.
This actually reminds me of a topic that, and in fact, I can even contribute to this topic. Where does this rank as far as your best? I mean, obviously, don't offend anybody, but where does this rank as far as your best and worst bookings for something that might not necessarily be wrestling related?
It definitely wasn't near the bottom of my worst wrestling bookings. Usually my worst wrestling bookings are the ones that, like, ones where you get screwed on pay, like anything Ian Rotten.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. I'm trying to think who else. You know, the guys that lie to you about your trans and shit like that. That those are the worst ones. But you know, my best booking. Oh, I used to love. Well, at first I hated it, but I loved the money. There was Hustle out of Japan, and it was just a kind of an offshoot of Pride, and it was a very WWE style. So it was crazy. Like, but it was, you know, $2,500 a night, and I was like, man, this is awesome. And but man, that was my favorite booking.
My worst booking, as it were, and for those that are new to the show, I don't wrestle. We just talk like this all the time. But my worst booking was when I was in, it was my first year in minor league baseball. I was working for the Evansville Otters out in beautiful Evansville, Indiana, right like on the border of Kentucky and Indiana. And I was an intern. I was a broadcast intern, and interns had to do a whole lot of just awful, awful things. But it was all in the name of experience, and if you do well here, we'll find you a job in no time, and it's a load of crap. But anyway, I was an intern. I was naive, and I was told that it was my turn to put on the Otters outfit, the mascot suit. Like, I had to put it on, and yeah, so all the interns had to share in the just nasty, disgusting, like, it was just foul-smelling. No matter how many times you wash this thing, it never was clean. And and some of the people, some of the interns got away with, you know, maybe they would just show up to, like, a library and shake some hands with some kids and everything. But when it was my turn, I had to dress up and participate in a mascot touch football game at an arena football event. Yes, Evansville actually had an arena football team. I forget if they were called the Bluefish or the Catfish or what have you. But other area mascots showed up, and they got onto the field, and they had to run around, and it was in front of maybe like, it's an arena that holds about 10,000, but they were lucky if they had 150. I mean, but it was just so, the only cool thing about it was, is at least I could say I was on the floor, and it was a unique perspective. But I was also in a suit that smelled like ass, and it was like 107 degrees in that building. So just imagine what it felt like inside that suit. I couldn't see out of the little eye hole. So at one point, someone threw a ball in my direction. I ducked out of the way because I had no idea where it was, if it was going to hurt me, if it hit me. Oh, my goodness. And it was just for the halftime thing. So it was only for like 10 minutes, but it felt like an eternity.
Man, I've always wanted to be like a mascot, but everybody says the same thing. You know, it smells awful.
Oh, man, it's like ass on top of BO on top of just, you know, sweat and just, ugh. It's one of those things where I'm sure even if I was the kid who was in the library just shaking hands with a few kids, like, by the end of it, I would look like I went to war. But this is now me running around, and there was, like, you know, there was the otter, and then there was the guy in the shark outfit, and then there was the guy from the grocery store who looked like a big grizzly bear, and it was like, what am I doing here? Well, this is why I went to college?
Man, that seems like a dream for some people. Oh, hey, so we're approaching September, which means a lot of things. The Major League Baseball will be in fifth gear, last, you know, the last run at the playoffs, and it's getting pretty exciting. Now, I got to ask you, are you a more of like a traditionalist when it comes to baseball, or are you like more of a, you know, shit evolves?
I'm not a purist. I mean, I certainly am the type that allows for change. I've always, even though it hasn't been smooth, I was really big into getting replay into the game. Like, I didn't think that, oh, cool, it's tradition to get things wrong, so let's just keep it that way. that I was never that type. I mean, I know it's not going to be perfect in its first go around, but yeah, I'm always up for change. But there are certain changes I don't care for. Like, for instance, I'm not a big interleague play guy, because when I was a kid, I thought things... Yeah, well, because I always thought that the All-Star game was special, seeing, like, matchups I wouldn't normally see, American versus National League. And I also liked the playoffs in that regard, because I was like, well, I've been watching the Red Sox all year, but I don't think I've seen the Cincinnati Reds ever. So let me watch this game, you know? And then to see, like, the matchups in the World Series, like, oh, how is this team's style going to mesh with this other team? And will it be a good series? And you don't have that anymore. Like, I mean... not so much this last year with the Red Sox and Cardinals, but I feel like I've seen a lot of these interleague matches now over and over and over again, that by the time you get to the World Series, it just feels like another game, you know?
I'm going to have to disagree with you there. When interleague play first started, I was worried. I definitely was worried. Because, you know, it's traditional, and, you know, then the three divisions and the wild card, I was like, oh, I don't know. But, you know, the more I grew up, the more I really, really enjoyed it, with the idea of everything evolves. And you got to go with the times. And now with instant replay. Now, me, I love interleague play because it gives these fresh matchups to, you know, I'm a Phillies fan. You're a Red Sox fan. It gives all these fresh matchups. Like, you know, when am I ever going to get to see the Seattle Mariners play at Citizens Bank Park, or our Phillies going to play in Anaheim? And, you know, for me, that makes it more exciting. And I also think it gives a different, you know, feel to when it comes time for playoff times, because, you know, you might have taken two out of three. Say you're the Philadelphia Phillies and you're the first place in the East. And you go, oh, man, this, you know, this is perfect. We took two or three from the Angels, and then you meet them in the World Series. Now you're like, okay, now what are the odds that they're going to win, you know, a best of seven? And then, you know, the Angels come out. I think it breeds a lot more, you know, excitement. And I was worried about the second wild card too, because then, you know, you're pretty much saying, you know, 10 of 30 teams get into the playoffs every year. But the reality is that wild card is win or go home. And the pressure has to be crazy, because you have to throw your number one pitcher in there. And because, you know, you got to win or go home. So, which makes you have your number two pitcher ready the next day to play, you know, a fresh team. And I really think it makes the wild card, you know, our winning division way, way, way more important. And, you know, I'm looking, it's August 26th here, and I'm looking at it right now. And in the American League East, you got the Baltimore Orioles, who are up six games on the New York Yankees. Central, you got the Kansas City Royals up a game and a half on the Detroit Tigers. In the West, the Angels and Oakland A's are tied. Going over to the National League, you have the Washington Nationals up 7.5 over Atlanta. That's over. It's over. As good as Atlanta's playing, the Nationals are playing way better. In the Central, Milwaukee's up on St. Louis by 1.5. And then in the West, the Dodgers are up 5 on the Giants. And I think that's pretty much it. So for me, if there was no wild card, I'm thinking, okay, great. There's 1.5 between St. Louis and Milwaukee, and Los Angeles and Oakland are, you know, tied, and Detroit and Kansas City are 1.5. So three of the six divisions, you know, are basically done. You put the wild card in there now, and now you're looking at it, it's crazy, because, you know, right now the Oakland A's or the Kansas City are the Los Angeles Angels are the leaders in the West, which makes them, because they're tied, which makes them tied for the wild card. And then you got the Seattle Mariners, and then you look and see, okay, Detroit's only 0.5 game out of the wild card. The Yankees 2.5 out. The Cleveland Indians 4.5 out. You go over to the National League, it's even closer. You got St. Louis up by 3 games. You got San Francisco as the second team. But then Atlanta's half game out. Pittsburgh a game and a half. Miami, of all teams, three out. Reds are way down there at 5.5. But, I mean, now you have races going on there. So I find it super, super exciting. And considering that both our favorite teams, Dan, are basically out of it, mathematically out of it. Now, what did you pick in the beginning of the season? How did you think that the Red Sox were going to do?
I thought the Red Sox would take a step back because it's kind of hard to see as many career seasons and one-year wonders. I mean, it was just so amazing watching that team because it seemed like all season long you were thinking, all right, well, here they go. They just lost a couple to Tampa Bay. This is where they fall apart. And people forget that Tampa Bay was pretty much at their heels up until the last month of the year where they just sort of fell apart. And then Boston was able to just pull away. But there was times last season where you thought, okay, well, now they're going to play like the fourth place team everybody was expecting. And that'll be the end of that. And then but somehow, when you looked at the standings at the end of the season, they were like, hey, this team is number one seeded. They have home field throughout because of the All-Star game. Why not this team? And it ended up being a magical October. That being said, going into this season, they lost Jacoby Ellsbury. They were going with some kids that were very untested but very heavily hyped. And you could easily see them not necessarily falling way back in the pack, but you could see them competing maybe for one of those wild card slots. And maybe if things break the same ways they did in 2013, you could see them maybe being in the same position they were a year ago because a lot of the team, minus the Ellsberries of the world, were still on the club. But it didn't work out that way at all. I mean, gosh, I've never seen a team fall so far, so fast. I mean, they've had at least two or three losing streaks of over seven games this season. This is a team that last year was celebrating with champagne in October. So it's really been quite a turnaround for the negative for the Red Sox. So I think going into the year, I thought they were at best a wild card, you know, perhaps even stealing that division because no one really stood out. But at worst, I thought, well, maybe they'd just finish third and just be out just outside in the race for the last wildcard spot. Never did I imagine right now, here in end of August, they'd be 14.5 games out of just the wildcard spot in the American League.
Yeah, and for me, I thought like they had a good enough core that they would come back strong, whereas my Phillies, I was expecting a bad year. In fact, I had them at 70-92, which is pretty good considering, you know, all these games in, we're 131 games in, not counting tonight. They're 59-72, which means for me to be right, they have to go 11-18 in this last 29, right? I could be doing really well here. 70-92, I picked. That's not good. And then now guys are bitching and moaning and complaining. Ugh, makes me mad, man. You can't get on the Sandberg. His birthday's coming up.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, we know you'll be sending him a card.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I was out there picking it out today. As we're talking about birthdays, let's, you know, have a birthday shout-out to my boy, Colby. By the time we listen to this, it'll be Friday. His birthday, he will turn 18 years old this Thursday. Happy birthday to my boy. Oh, man.
Time flies, doesn't it?
It sure does. And, you know, in college, and he's having fun already, and went to a party last night, and you know, he couldn't wait to tell me about it. He's like, Dad. He's like, I saw a girl kiss three different dudes in 15 minutes. I said, college. He's like, Colby, love it.
Colby should have that girl send us a picture to go on a date with me. I mean, that's the obvious next step, right?
How about that we have not had any people send pictures in?
You know, I did some thinking about that, and I don't think it has anything to do with me. I think it has something to do with you, Steve, and here's why.
Is it because I'm creepy?
No. You said 5 and above, and I agreed with you. I was like, yeah, I don't want anything less than a 5. I mean, come on, I have standards. But I think that's what happened is you alienated all the 4 and lowers, and they just didn't want to send a picture.
Okay, maybe. We'll do it now. We'll say, hey, here's the deal. Any girl any girl. Transvestite is okay. You know, as long as you portray yourself as a girl, 1 to 10, send in your picture at Steve Carino Show. Let's get Dan a date, because a week later, we ain't got shit. Man, and it's not like they don't know where to find you, because, Dan, you can tell everybody where to find the Steve Carino Show.
Ooh, I like that segue. Masterful job there.
Hey. You
can find the Steve Carino Show in any of the following ways: by visiting placetobenation.com, of course, and clicking on the Steve Carino Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. In addition, just by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast on your iTunes, you will automatically receive the latest episodes of the Steve Carino Show. You can visit Stitcher.com, of course, and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast, or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter. It's at Steve Carino Show. It's at Place to Be Nation. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation. Finally, our last segment. It's filling up fast tonight. If you want to contribute with questions, love, suggestions, email us at stevecarinoshow@placetobenation.com, stevecarinoshow@gmail.com, or tweet up at us. It's at Steve Carino Show. Steve.
Wow. Always good. A great segue in there. We're really kicking some ass 18 weeks in. Hey, when we come back, we're going to have the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, joining us right here on the Steve Carino Show. What about a cut? We push it off the corner. How was the buzz entire hip-hop era? Was fresh in fact since they started saying Audi? Cause funk's made fat from right beneath my hood. The Puba of the styles like Miles and shit. What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant.
Sorry.
The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show. I break down matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
And welcome back to the Steve Carino Show. This week's guest is a man that not only has his own show on the Place to Be Nation network, but a guy that I've literally known off and on for 18 years. And over the last few years, not only has he become my co-worker, but he's become a mentor. And in professional wrestling, you always need to get a mentor, because no matter how much you know about something, there's always going to be somebody that knows way more. And within, you know, the last year or so, making that nice left-hand turn into the broadcasting part of professional wrestling, it's a lot harder than people understand. And if you don't have the right person there helping you, you're just going to sound like another guy talking, and it's not going to have any substance. This guy here took me like almost as an infant in the broadcasting booth and has made me feel comfortable every TV taping. And within the next year or two, I'll finally get it, and we can, you know, really go on to bigger and better things as a crew. So I want to welcome Kevin Kelly to the Steve Kranz Show. KK, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm good, Steve. And not only that, but we're friends as well. And you are my guardian angel lifesaver after Saturday night. So thank you again.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll be the first really to talk about it unless your show posts before mine.
No.
You know, last Saturday night in Chicago, Ridge, Illinois, at the Ring of Honor tapings, Tommaso Ciampa, the snaps, goes nuts, grabs you in the ring. I heard things out of your mouth that I never hear before. Stuff that we're going to have to bleep on television.
Yeah, sorry about
that. You know what? I got to ask you, what was your feeling while you were in there, and knowing Tommaso the way you do, you probably saw the slap of Paul Turner at Field of Honor. I mean, I was at ringside, and it buckled my knees.
Yeah.
And here's a guy that has the psychopath character, but I think sometimes when it's go time, he becomes that. You know, we know that from watching actors become that character. I think he really does become, and he loses it a little bit. And here you were, it was your time, and you are in his legs, whether it was going to be a pile driver, a power bomb, I don't know what the hell he was doing, but what was your mindset going at that point?
Well, first, I got really mad. I felt bad for him when he lost. I did, because it was a hell of a match with Elgin, and you guys will see it. I got mad because he slapped that kid that was sitting in the corner.
And slapped him hard. It was a couple times, too.
Yeah, twice. And I was just, for whatever reason, he kind of looked like my son. And I don't know whether or not I got upset. And I said, hey, that's enough. And then he came over to me, and I was just kind of hoping we were off the air by this point. And I was just like, dude, go to the back. And then he hit my headset, and that's when I kind of lost it. So it went from me being on the floor, and then he's pulling at me, and I'm kind of hitting him, and I'm trying to just get him to go away, you know? And he wouldn't go away. And before I knew it, I was in between his legs. And I didn't hear anything because, you know, with the knee pads around his knees – I never noticed this. You can't hear a sound. And I'm just
right?
smothered.
That's something that a lot of people don't realize. And we have 1,000 people in that building yelling and screaming, and all of a sudden, you can't hear anything.
Yeah, so I didn't know what to do, and I was kind of feeling for what he was going to do. I didn't know if he was going to try to pile driver me or do what. I had no idea. And so I'm just kind of hanging on, and I'm waiting. I'm praying somebody is going to come. I'm praying the referees are going to come. And there you were. And I only realized that when I got let go and I looked up and there you are. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Steve.
I was there. And I got stuck there for a second, too. I told you this back at the hotel. The microphone cord caught me. And I was like, yeah. Oh, no. I said, you're going to die. And I'm stuck in a microphone cord. that's the thing. And here's one thing I want people to know about broadcasters. When that headset is on, we are no longer we feel like we're protected. Whether you know, I'm trying to think of the best way to equate it, but once we put that headset on, we're not supposed to be touched. I don't want to be touched. I don't want, you know, because it's almost like we have the headset on and we can't see everywhere anymore because our focus is on the ring and calling the action. You know, we don't want to look left or right. We don't want or especially behind. And I've had my headset knocked off by BJ Whitmer, and it pisses me off in a real way. And man, once that headset gets knocked off, you want to fight because yeah. now you're in my you've come into my house. And has that ever happened to you before where somebody's knocked off your headset?
And I think it has. In fact, I seem to remember, and I can't remember who did it. It may have been Bob Holly. Slapped.
Well, he's a bully.
Yeah, slapped the headset off and broke the earpiece. right? Like broke one of the things off. So it, so I'm trying to get it back together and then be able to put it back in my head. And it was, and he cracked me, but luckily that, you know, that kind of protects you. But then, yeah, it's not fun. It's not fun at all. And I think we need to, I'm working on something. I'm working on writing something because Nigel wasn't there. I think we need to have Nigel there because somebody's got to be the adult in the room. And
absolutely.
And the, you know, the non-wrestling personnel with in the office, they're okay. They're great, but I don't think they can relate to the wrestler. I don't think they can relate to the Tommaso Ciampa who goes too far. I think we need a Nigel there just to be able to kind of be that law and order figure to get it done. But I also think, like you said, Steve, we've got to have protection out there. If you're going to have me at ringside, which I don't like already, and because I would like to be away from the ring, I feel like sometimes we're too close. I would like to be away to see the big picture.
You said that plenty of times. Yeah.
Yeah. Let us stand up off to the side. We'll watch in a monitor. We'll be able to get all the reactions and everything will be great. And you can come to us for on cameras. It'll be fantastic. If we're going to be that close, we've got to have like a zero tolerance policy. And not to sound like a little bitch or anything, but
oh, absolutely.
I've had my hand stepped on by Tadarius. I got hit in the eye. You know, the thing with TD was an accident. The thing that Silas threw at me was an accident. And then this was intentional. And it's like, okay, now I want to be away from the ring. I don't want to be there.
Me too. Yeah. I've gotten to the point where I'm like, man, get me out of here. This gets too close. Guys going up to the top rope near our table. And I'm thinking, oh, man, please don't fall on me. Please don't fall on me.
Right.
And yeah, I never thought I would have. I never in a million years thought I would be like that. But, you know, you feel like you need to be protected at that table because you have a job to do, just like, you know, the wrestlers do. Now, Kevin, right. were you a wrestling fan all your life?
I was. I think I was nine years old, let's say, and was sick, had a cold or something. So I couldn't sleep up Saturday night, happened to be midnight. My dad was still up watching TV. Channel 9 is on, the harness racing ends from 11:30 to 12, and on comes wrestling, and I freak. I'm like, whoa, and my dad steps in front of me, and he turns down the volume on the TV, and he says, before you watch this, I'm going to explain this to you. My dad was so smart. He knew everything about the business, right? And because he had shot photography ringside for years for one of the old New York papers that had gone out of business. But anyway, so that was how I got really hooked and then started watching on a regular basis. Then when I moved to Florida a few months later, finally on Saturday, the cable gets hooked up because the movers had come and, you know, TV gets plugged in, powered up, takes a second to warm up. First voice I hear is Gordon Solie.
Wow. And
so the picture warms up and I'm watching Championship Wrestling from Florida. I'd never heard of Gordon Solie before. I'd never seen Championship Wrestling from Florida before. Steve, I swear it was the first voice. Mike Graham was wrestling. I don't know who Mike Graham was wrestling, but that was my introduction into wrestling. From that moment on, I was dyed-in-the-wool fan, never was going to change me, and hasn't changed me to this day.
It's so funny that you say that because, you know, Gordon Solie was a huge impact on my watching wrestling. It was the first time I watched wrestling. Now, when you were saying Channel 9, are you out of New York? Was the Channel 9? Or
no, I was born in New York. And yeah, it was Channel 9, WOR. And
that
was,
yeah.
Yeah, that was the wrestling that came on at midnight. So the WWF then at the time.
Right. So, you know, you go to Florida. So it's so funny that you say this because this is how weird it is. My first recollection of wrestling is my parents were, you know, in their room. It's a late Saturday night and Spectrum Wrestling was on from the Philadelphia Spectrum on old cable company called Prism. And I was like, and it's Tony Garea and Rick Martel against Mr. Fuji and Mr. Saito. And I'm like, I am intrigued. I see It was either Fuji or Saito throwing the salt. I'm like, oh, what the hell is this? The next Saturday, I'm flipping through channels. I'm 8 years old. I'm flipping through the channels on the old cable box that had, like, you know, the three levels, and you had to push the button.
Yep.
And I, you know, I was a big baseball fan then, so I'm looking. I'm like, oh my goodness, we have TBS, and that could be the Braves. And so I click on, and it's 6:05, and here's Gordon Solie. And I'm thinking, what is this? And it's Georgia Championship Wrestling. And I'm like, man, this is the greatest stuff ever. And I was hooked from there.
It was, and it shaped my social life. I would shape my social life all through middle school, not much in middle school socially, but high school. It was shaped around 6:05 Saturday night. College, I'm sorry, 6:05 Saturday night. That was must watch. For as long as it was on.
Now, did you know that you were destined to get into the wrestling business?
I don't know. When I was in college, it was something that I had thought about, but I didn't know how. And my buddy who graduated ahead of me, we were both in communications, he was going to go to Atlanta and become a page at CNN. They had like a page, but kind of like an internship. And right. I figured, wow, that might be the way to get in, because I graduated in 1990, so they still would have been in the CNN center. I didn't have the money, though, to be able to go move to Atlanta from Tallahassee, where I went to school at Florida State. I didn't have the money to be able to go and intern. I had to move home because I didn't have a cent left. So I couldn't do that. But then I was home like 2 months. I had gotten a job at a radio station. And a local promoter happened to call the station and see if anybody from the radio station wanted to do ring announcing for wrestling that was going to be at the county fair. And I was there when the call came in. I about hit the woman that answered the phone. Said, "I'll take it. I'm doing it. Yes, me. Hello."
Yes, yeah. I'm on it.
I got it. Leave me alone. So, yeah. So that was it. That was Cliff Anderson. Tommy Rogers was in the main event.
Wow, Tommy Rogers. What town was this? Do you remember?
In Fort Pierce.
Fort Pierce. Tommy Rogers on the card.
It was a night at the county fair. It rained so hard that they closed the fair, but they kept the wrestling event going. We were under a tent, and the only people in attendance were friends and family of the wrestlers and the carnies whose rides had been shut down for the night. So it was an interesting crowd.
Oh wow! Now, this is your first time in wrestling and stuff like that. Was it everything that you had expected, or anything that you had, you know, when you were watching Championship Wrestling from Florida, did you say, okay, this is how it goes? And then at the end of the night, you're like, shit, this isn't how it goes.
I felt very comfortable right away. And luckily, everybody that was above me, that was sort of the mentors to me, they were all very nice to me with that. But, you know, it was exactly, I guess, what I thought it would be. It was what it sounded like to me, because I always put a lot of wrestling like with sound, and as far as what the ring announcer would sound like, because that was what I did my first night. And I felt like, okay, I'm doing well. And there was a guy who was the timekeeper who was like, hey, you should announce the referee. The people will boo him. What's his name again? Oh, Bruce Tharp. Oh, okay.
Special. Bruce Tharp. Yeah, from Florida, right? Runs the NWA right now, right?
No. That's not his name then. Bruce. Damn it. You know him.
I know who you're talking about. He has like he's a collector of belts too.
And now he's exactly got a bald. He's got a bald head. Huh? He yep. Ref for Larry for anyway, he used to have hair and Bruce, whatever. And the people booed. And I was like, ladies and gentlemen, special troubleshooting referee, you know, so-and-so. Ooh, okay, good. Now I got it. I understand how this works. And that was it, man. I was hooked from there on.
Now you go to the WWE as a commentator. Was there ever anything in your mind that said, you know what, I could be a ring announcer for the WWE, or did you think, okay, the Fink's here and he's going to be here for 30 more years and this is going to be the way, or is it something that's you know, your main goal was to be a broadcaster?
Well, I never thought I was good enough to be in the WWF. Never thought in a million years I was good enough to be there. It was by fate and fortune I got there. The first thing that I did was I was friends with Billy Gunn, and he helped get me inadvertently a tryout to be an announcer. But what he was calling the office about was, hey, do we need any local ring announcers in Florida? So I did get to do ring announcing there first. I had already secured my tryout. And so what they said was, well, this will kind of be like the first part of your tryout. Just go and have fun, and we'll actually pay you. So it was at the Orlando Arena, and I rented a tux, and I met George the Animal Steel, one of your faves. But Jerry Briscoe messed me up that night. I had ring announced a bunch in Florida, right? And I had an idea in my head of what I wanted to do. So then he gave me here's what you don't do. And what you don't do is sound like somebody so I got real like intimidated. I was like, whoa, I better dial back the personality. And so I just was real monotone. And for whatever reason, they had Bill Dunn there too. Instead of having Bill Dunn just worry about the t-shirts, he's passed away since then. Instead of just having him go up and watch the merch stand, he decided he wanted to ring announce as well. All right, fine. So there's two ring announcers. I did two matches. Big deal. And, George Steele said, you did good. You did good. You know, you can always pep it up a little bit. Don't ever worry about, you know, being too excitable out there. Okay. So that was all right. No, I only was going to, I guess, be a TV announcer. And because the Fink was there, and it was just that was his domain. I was never going to be as good as him. And come to think of it, I never really thought I was going to get hired by the WWF. I just took the audition sort of as a lark and was like, yeah, we'll see what happens. It'll be a good learning experience.
Now, what is an audition? And I'm going to you know firsthand that I had an audition, you know, in 2002. But for the people out there, what was your audition?
After they flew me in, they took good care of me, brought me into the airport from the airport in a limousine. It was really neat. Get there, get made up, and then you go down to the studio, and it was kind of informal. You know, it was so sit in front of the camera and tell us a little bit about yourself. And Kevin Dunn asked me a few questions, just you know, about your experience and what you did and what you're like. Then there was like a baseball bat by the, I don't know, by the camera or something like that. And he picks it up and he's looking at it. It's a wooden bat, and he hands it to me and he says, okay, sell me this bat for about 60 seconds. And I look and it's Robin Ventura's, you know, name on there. So I start telling a story about Robin Ventura in college and what a great player he was. And now he's in the pros and he's got his own Louisville Slugger, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever. Didn't do good, didn't do bad. Then Jim Ross comes in, and Jim Ross is a heel, and I'm going to interview him. He's wrestling Shawn Michaels at Madison Square Garden. He gives me the scenario, and we go back and forth and we do the interview. Went fine, no problem at all. Then we move to the announce booth where he and I sit together. Again, he's a heel, and I'm the play-by-play guy, and we called two matches. I think the first match was Barry Horowitz versus Yokozuna. Can't remember. Jennifer Good was the producer. And I didn't do very well. I didn't think I did very well at all. I got done with the interview, and Lisa Wolf, who was at the time the head of human resources, she's standing right outside the announce booth there. She hands me a Monday Night Raw t-shirt and shakes my hand, and that's it. I'm gone. I'm heading back to the limousine. I was like, oh my gosh, I really bombed. This is terrible.
Like a parting gift.
Yeah, here's your parting gift. Thanks. The home version of the game. On the way back, heading to Newark from Stamford. We're still on 95. I don't think we had crossed the New York border yet. Limo driver got a call and said they want you back. Okay, cool. So he U-turns, goes back, and it was Bruce Pritchard, Lisa Wolf, and Kevin Dunn. Kevin Dunn wasn't there. It was just Lisa and Bruce. Well, you're the one that we've picked. We had a bunch of people here for auditions today. You're the one that we want to meet Vince. Oh, great. Well, we got to take you over to the tower. So somebody drove me over there, went upstairs, fourth floor, sat in a conference room, waited for Vince to come in, pooped my pants four or five times. Vince came in. We shook hands. I blathered about I have no idea what, and somehow I still got the job. So, and that was it. That's the story.
Wow.
It was neat. It was intimidating.
Was it intimidating from everybody from, you know, Kevin Dunn down, or was it once you met the man himself, you were like, okay, you know, this is the big obstacle to get the golden prize.
Do you remember the redheaded makeup woman that worked there named Jill?
Yes. Yeah.
She was, and I complimented her because we became great friends when I got the job there. She was so sweet to me from the minute that I walked in. Everybody else was kind of on edge. Kevin Dunn's kind of a D-bag anyway, altogether. And JR looked like he didn't want to be there. Bruce was nice. Lisa Wolf was nice. But having to be able to talk to Jill right off the beginning and just make me feel very at ease helped get me through all of that. I didn't do that well. But when I got to meet Vince, I was like, okay, I think this might happen. This is actually – I think I can do this. And then sure enough, they made me an offer.
Oh, see for people that, I mean, that's an awesome story. And we got Kevin Kelly here this week on the Steve Curran Show. And we're going to wrap up in a couple minutes, but I mean, I could talk to you all night, and we usually do.
Yeah. But, right.
I have a tryout with the WWF in 2002, and it was great because it was with you.
Yeah.
And I remember like some of the feedback I got was like, I didn't seem comfortable, or I went in trying to be like an analyst and stuff like that. And I think now 12 years later, where, you know, me and you were together, and I thought, wow, if I would have come into that tryout in 2002 with the way that I am now, I probably would have got even worse feedback, right?
No, I don't know. I thought you did really well, but I think you would get much. You would be credited for a lot more because, Steve, now you've got a rap. Now you've got a storytelling ability now that you didn't have back then. And
right.
And that's the thing.
That's true.
And you do it in sound bites and you do very well. Would they have wanted, you know, did you still have the blonde hair at that point, or was that changing? Or
no, I definitely still had the blonde hair.
The blonde hair. Again, I don't know what they're looking for now in terms of their announced teams. I have a feeling that you and I might not be at the top of the list as far as the look that they might want to go with. but I do remember that day very well, Steve. And my job was to get you over. My job was to get you a job.
Right.
You know,
you did the best you could.
Yeah. And I was like, damn, Karina would be awesome just for your mind, just for the things that you could do, you know, maybe wrestle a little bit, maybe announce. But even back then, I was like, oh, I don't. Poor Steve. He's beaten up.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I was already 2 weeks or 2 weeks of every month in Japan. You know, now you don't realize how you've saved my more of my life. But, you know, you've saved my career. By you know, making sure that I stay in that booth.
That's all I want now. You know, I want us to be, just leave us there, let us do it. And I mean, I don't mind having Bobby Fish or Caprice fill
of
in,
course.
You know, or because they're just a little, but I want it to be Kevin and Steve and Kevin. That's what I want.
Me too.
And let this team go as far as it can go.
And you know what? I think the fans that listen to us weekly on Ring of Honor Wrestling on the Sinclair Broadcasting Channel, you know, they like the familiarity of us at the beginning of the show. And, you know, in big matches, you bring Nigel in and make it a three-man team, which at first I thought, oh, this probably isn't going to be good. But I think the three-man team for the big matches has really paid benefits.
I agree with you. I say virtually nothing. You guys do all the work, and I enjoy it so much. I just come in for the sound bites at the end, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
I throw to break. I bring us back for break, and I shut up.
Yeah, and it's so much fun. Hey, Kevin, where do we find your podcast?
Well, of course, it's part of, like you said, we're part of the family here at placetobenation.com. We record every other week. So last week, my guest was, we had two guests. We had Rob Conway And we also talked to Raymond Rowe right before he had his arm surgery after his motorcycle accident. This week, or actually next week, I'm going to have ACH on from Ring of Honor right before he wrestles Jay Lethal for the television title. It's available through all the, you know, traditional forms on iTunes and et cetera, et cetera. But it's right here at the Place to Be Nation. And we've been doing, I think we've got 17 episodes in the can now. So it's a good listen. It's a good show. And I'm just happy to be, you know, a guest on your show tonight, man. This is easy.
Yeah, I'm so thrilled to have you. And where can we find you on Twitter?
It's Real Kevin Kelly is the Twitter handle. And I'm usually the one that's retweeting any of your stuff involving Beck. So that's
that 255 followers.
Dude, that shot, and it wasn't even Beck, but it was the picture that you took, I think it was yesterday, at the beach. There was barely a cloud in the sky, sand, water. It just looked perfect. And I was like,
it's gorgeous here today. Hey, you guys are invited. The whole Kevin Kelly clan is always invited down to Emerald Island.
All right.
We have plenty of room for you.
That's a definite. Probably next year we'll make that journey down there. That'll be fun.
That'd be great. And you know what? We'll wrap a seminar in there for my PWF guys and get you a little payday. It's pretty shitty, but, you know, we'll get you a payday anyway.
It's all right. Well, let's do I got to be there for the PWF show the night before, right?
Absolutely.
That's what we got to have. That's what I'm excited about. I want to see all the young guys and I want to just see the little thing that you're starting to build there, because you're so excited about it. You're so passionate. You were like, you know, the father pacing the floor when you realized you couldn't be there for your kid's recital. Tell me how he's doing. What's going on?
Yeah, Friday, I'm at my phone. Even when it was a commentating time, I'm like, oh, man, JoJo Dancer better be doing what I want or he's in big trouble. But, hey, Kevin, thanks for coming on this week. I really appreciate it and love to have you back on another time.
You got it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thank you very much. Hey, that was Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling, the voice of Ring of Honor. And when we come back, it's going to be some Twitter Q&A and, of course, some love. You're listening to the Steve Corino Show. Plays by intuition. The digit counts as ball. That depth on the planet is. Sure plays a mean pinball.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Return the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richer and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Now, time for some Twitter Q&A and a little bit of love with the King of Old School and Dan, too, on the Steve Corino Show. King, take it away.
Hey, we're back for our final segment on the Steve Corino Show. Another thank you to Kevin Kelly, the voice of Ring of Honor, for coming in. Great interview. We could have been here all night. We say that a lot about our interview subjects because we really haven't had a shitter. 18 episodes in. And we've gotten some great, great interviews. And Kevin Kelly was, you know, just another one that was awesome. This week, make sure you get over to ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Corino. Buy one of the 6 new shirts. It's going to be awesome. If you're in England, shipping's only $6.99. If not, Steve Corino's bringing them. A couple weeks I'll be in England. But it's time for one of my favorite segments because there's only 3 on every show. It's Twitter Q&A and some love. Dan, we got music this week? We didn't have music last week.
We did not have music. They were asleep at the wheel last week, I think.
And Chuck was upset because we didn't have music.
Well, I mean, Chuck talked for a good chunk of that. So, I mean, maybe there was music and we just couldn't hear it.
Couldn't segue into it.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what we got now. Ready? And go.
You like the movies and I like TV. I take things serious and you take them light. I go to bed early and I party all night.
Not too bad. What do you think?
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, I think they really needed to bring it this week because of missing it last week. I think this is some good stuff right here.
That's true. Now that you say that, I'll go with that. I'll give you that. But yeah, man, I like it. Guys over Place to Be Nation. Always got our music ready. I love it.
It's popping. It's bouncing. I mean, you know, how can you complain about something like this? I know we're a different generation, but I think this is pretty cool.
Yeah, right? My gosh. Oh, hey, Steve J. Rogers Jr. is back this week. I swear he's the only person that sends it in weekly. People, we're going to talk about your questions at Steve Corino Show. Get this shit in.
Yeah, don't think that for a minute that it's like, oh, well, I don't know if this question's good enough for those two guys. I mean, trust me. I see the questions. Steve sees the questions. We're not picking and choosing. We see a question, we're gonna ask it on the air. Guaranteed.
Right. Stupid, we're just going to make fun of you, so it's all good.
Right, so if you can take the heat, then, you know, if you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen. But at the same time, just bring it. We'll accept it.
So we got this. It says, at Steve Corino Show, wait, no pictures of the Epic Food Lion ribbon cutting yet? ? Smiley face. Yeah, there was a picture.
I love
and
this picture.
And it got sent to 2 people, Dan and Chuck.
Oh, what was great about that was I was at work, and it was one of those really tough days, and all of a sudden I get, you know, the phone beep, and I'm not allowed to have phones. I know if my human resources is listening right now, I know we're not supposed to have phones, but at the time I had my phone on me, and anyway, what happened was, is I hear the little beep, and I look over, and it's like, oh, Steve's, you know, usually we don't talk unless it's like a show day, so this seems pretty cool. I open it up, and there's a picture of a table with donuts, Dunkin' Donuts, which was I popped for that, and then there's Steve's glossy photos right next to the donuts, and he goes, what did you say? What was your comment?
I said, I think I wrote, of course, that they would put my stuff next to the donuts.
And then I replied with, the match made in heaven right there.
Yes, yeah, the match made in heaven.
Oh, God, I'm a
Chuck
man.
Wrote back like, what did you expect?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. No, that's a good one. Maybe if people ask nicely, we'll, I don't know, it's up to you, but maybe if people ask nicely, we'll bring that to the public.
Yeah, maybe one day. Hey, we also got to bring some pictures. Make sure you send those pictures in. 1 to 10, we don't care. If you portray yourself as a woman, we want to set you up with Dan McGinn.
That's
right. At Steve Perino Show. And you know, tweet those pictures over.
Not only that, you get to hang out with the charismatic superstar like myself, but you also get a free ebook from Chuck.
It's true. I mean, how can you turn that down?
Yeah, yeah. Hannah and the Stormcatchers, or I don't know what it was called. I forget, but...
I downloaded it. Did you download it?
I did. It's on my iPad right now. Yeah, we probably should get a better plug-in besides butchering the title, but... But anywho, a guy that we don't mind butchering on a weekly basis is at Rob Dimension. He writes, at King Carino, at Steve Carino Show, at DMcG4881. Yep, when the hell am I coming back on to pop those ratings?
I don't even know this guy.
sounds like a real turd.
He does. Yeah, he'll never be on the show again.
Mm-mm.
No, you know, Rob's always a fun guest. He always asks, hey, man, when am I coming back on? I don't know, man. We'll see. Yeah. But, yeah, he's always a fun guest. He's got his own rock and shock and wrestling podcast over at robdimension.com. Take a listen. It's not very good. not a big fan of podcasts. Okay, this one, Thy Smithy. Huh. On a scale of B.J. Whitmer to Matt Hardy, how much are you going to miss the God of Hardy? Well, I'm never going to miss him because I go to the Church of Hardy, plus I have his phone number, and I text him, and his wife and my wife are friends, so that, you know, we get to hang out. Yeah. But B.J. Whitmer, Whitmer's a turd, though. That's a real turd. That's somebody that Rob Dimension should manage one day.
Rob Dimension has B.J. Whitmer on his show. You wouldn't listen, I'm guessing, right?
Oh, no, because it'd be Rob Dimension giving a B.J. to Whitmer.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how many times I want to use a B.J. reference on ROH TV, but Kevin Kelly won't let me.
Does he do, like, does he claw you or something, or does he give you that stern look in his eye, or what does he do?
Oh, he does. And he's a tough guy, wants to fight.
I can't believe that was we're burying the lead here. I can't believe that. I mean, Kevin, it's funny. If you ever listen to the Kevin Kelly show, it's funny because Kevin tries to play it all cool and professional, and he does his thing, and he does a great job every other Wednesday. And then you have Justin, who's so foul-mouthed. At one point, a few shows back, like, he had to, like, sternly tell Justin to drop the F-bombs on the show. And then, you know, next thing you know, Justin's putting in this music with all this cursing and swearing. And then you have Kevin who's trying to be all, finish strong, I go to church. It's such a crazy, you know, different spectrum. But, you know, somehow those guys make it work every other week. I don't know how they do it.
I know, right? It's good.
At ROH Todd, he writes, what gimmick matches are the best? And the real story here is his hashtag, which is hashtag Adam Cole Miner's Glove.
Yeah, that got a retweet and a laugh. That was amazing. Adam Cole Miner's Glove. That would be my favorite. I'm sure every other heterosexual guy will tell you the same thing. Yeah, any time that Adam Cole is on the pole, yeah, it's amazing. And it's funny, we're going to Disney World on in October because ROH is running Lakeland. So me and Jordan, Shellpack, and the baby are going to go. And Shellpack goes, well, there's two beds. And Jordan goes, well, there's two beds. Why don't we invite Adam Cole? I'm thinking, well, they're going to fight over, you know, who would get to sleep with Adam Cole? And everybody knows it would be me.
Right.
Yeah.
No question about it.
I've been working on that shit for 3 years. Okay, we got some Twitter love for the Steve Corino show. T-Dog HG Thomas Simpson writes, from now on, even if you don't like beer, ... stick with beer. Hashtag rum and Coca-Cola. Oh, man, that was a rough one. That's even a couple weeks ago. You know what's funny is Kevin Kelly also reminds me every time that we see the Young Bucks throwing them up. He goes, you've been known to throw them up every once in a while. I'm like, oh, I do. If it's at a wedding, I definitely do.
Oh, man. You know, I hung the same people, the same evil, foul, brutal people that I hung out with the day that I drank the cinnamon roll vodka. They invited me over for their Sunday fun day this past weekend. And there wasn't cinnamon roll vodka, but there was this other really disgusting shot that we took, and I can't even remember it. But I heeded the advice of T-Dog and just stuck with the beer the entire time.
Yeah, you gotta stick with beer.
Yeah. It wasn't my favorite beer. It wasn't one of my favorites, but I think I made the wiser choice on that Sunday fun day.
Oh. Scares me when somebody has a Sunday fun day. It just doesn't go well.
Well, when you like football, you get pretty much 20 straight weeks of Sunday fun day. You don't even have to, like, say, hey, it's a Sunday fun day. You're just going to watch football, and that's what you do. But you don't do that, so I don't know what you're going to do for the next 4 months.
Oh, I got the Baseball Network. I'll be watching old baseball.
There you go. All right, some more love. Actually, I'm going to reread this one. This was from last week, but there was some weird, I don't know, we were having issues with Chuck. So every now and again, it sounded like he was in an airplane hangar. But we're going to reread Fish Approved from last week because he's really pumping my tires, which I like a lot. He goes, listen to the show at work. Great job. I am even going to follow at DMcG4881 since he is an iced coffee year-round guy just like me. Well, Fish Approved, I appreciate that, and I had a couple iced coffees today, even, and I don't care if it's a blizzard, if it's 99 degrees outside, you will not see me without an iced coffee. You can ask anybody that knows me. And, you know, if Steve, we ever hang out, we have Mickey Hughes, I will probably stop for an iced coffee before I show up. So,
man, I can't drink the iced coffee. It has to be hot. If it's not hot, I can't like it.
Oh, man. Well, Fish Approved, I will follow you, sir. It won't help my numbers greatly, but I'm certainly glad you have joined the few, the proud, the revolution that is my Twitter following. Thank you, sir.
Hey, we got one here, and this at Steve Corino Show. This is from Smashville Matt. Glad to hear when Steve met Summer Rae, he's confirmed that she wasn't hot. I always thought she looked a lot like a female Owen Hart. If she looked like a female Owen Hart, wouldn't that make her natty?
Right?
Yeah.
No, that's true.
All those hearts do look alike. She does have a little Calgary in her.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I could see that. I could see that.
I could, too. I you know, I had a real off-color joke for it, but the more I think about it is that she might be right. He might be right.
You know, I don't care what you guys say. If Summer Rae herself, not even if someone who looks like Summer Rae, but if Summer Rae herself sent a picture to at Steve Corino Show looking for a date with me, I'd probably say yes.
Oh, I would give her over a 5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, you can't really go wrong. All right, man. Here comes this time that I know that you've been waiting 18 episodes to ask me, you always write it on the format.
Yep.
Story time with the King of Old School, and we got a little bit of time here, so I want you to tell the people about this, and then we will go over this story, and then I will tell you the truth.
Okay. So just a little backstory. It came to us over Facebook, like when we were starting out, we were premiering. It was way back in April. And this came from a poster from ProWrestlingOnly.com, one of our, well, the grand poobah of Place to Be Nation, Brad. He brought this to our attention. He goes, I don't know if you guys are ever going to use this, but here it is. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll save it for a rainy day. And the poster's name was Jaze USA. That's J-A-Z-E USA, if you know this guy. And he brought us this nugget, and I saw it. The story sounded unbelievable, and I wanted to see how truthful this story was. So let me get my voice ready for story time with the King of Old School. Perhaps maybe we can get some music for this segment, too. We'll try. Anyways, so here we go. Here's the story. I worked Steve Corino back in the mid-1990s in Raleigh, North Carolina, when he was a mainstay at ECWA and MCW Indies. I think it was 97 or 98 when he was living in Wilmington, North Carolina. It was me versus Steve versus Joey Matthews, Joey Mercury, in a three-way ladder match, and match took place in a bar full of drunken North Carolina State College kids. Corino wore a UNC basketball jersey to the ring and was literally attacked by three or four guys. We had no real security in the building, and it turned out to be a huge mess. The ceiling in the bar was very low compared to the regular building, so he gets the idea to jump up onto the light fixtures in the ceiling like Spider-Man to get away from all the drunk guys who were beating him senseless. Upon doing this, he blows up the transformer, and the electricity was run off of the bar. Laugh my ass off. Causing firework like sparks to shoot and scatter everywhere in the building. All the electricity went out because of this, and we were still wrestling in the pitch black dark when the fire truck showed up. They shut down the show and canceled our match. At this point, Corino decided it would be a good idea to get heat by picking a fight with a fireman. What he got in return was a night in jail, a legit ban for life from the bar, and we wrestled in and a court date for assault. That guy was freaking hilarious, crazy, and insanely ring smart, all at the same time. I love Steve Corino. I will consider him a friend for life. Great times we had for those indie shows back in the day.
You went all you went all Boston.
Yeah, well,
that was great. You sounded like Bobby Cruz a little bit.
Well, you know, I couldn't do North Carolina. I have a very limited repertoire with my voices, but for some reason, when I first read this story, I just thought, you know, token towny Boston guy who's just talking out of his ass in a bar. That's who this guy was when I was thinking about this story. So the floor is yours, old school. How much, if any, of this is true, and have you ever done something that crazy in any form or fashion in wrestling?
Well, I would say about 5% of it is true. When he said that I'm like a ring general, that's pretty much true, and a real nice guy, that is true. Everything else, no. Like, and it's such a great story, and he seems so passionate when he writes it, and you seemed even more passionate by when you repeat it, which makes it so much better. I thought it was great.
So no court date for assault? No.
Like, I mean, it sounds like, you know, a crazy episode of something, but man, it was freaking that's a great story, but it totally not true.
You never picked a fight with a fireman? I thought we all did that. I thought that was a rite of passage.
No, I've picked I've picked like fights with fans and stuff like that. If I know I can get them, if I know I can get them under their skin or something like that. But you know, and when I say fights, I'm like getting them all riled up. I'm not going to fight them. But yeah, that's a crazy story, but it's so awesome. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, but it's definitely not true. But it, you know, please spread that word that it is true, because that's a legendary story.
I wonder if he actually worked Chris Candido and he just got confused.
That does happen. You know, people mistake me all the time. Oh, it's nuts. Hey, what are you up to this weekend? It's Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend. It is. Nobody does Labor Day quite like Marlboro, Massachusetts. So they do a big parade. In a big election years, you see a lot of politicians walk in the street of Marlboro that during this weekend. But you also get the church that I go to, the Greek Orthodox Church, they put on their annual Grecian festival. So a lot of food, a lot of like fellowship. Crazy stuff, you know, your baklava sundaes, your lamb and rice, just all kinds of great stuff, and you know, live bands, Greek dancing. It's a lot of fun. If you've never attended at like any type of festival, for whether it be through a church or through like various different cultures, you really should check it out. I know Boston does a lot of like Italian festivals and that sort of thing, but yeah, check it out. Grecian festivals are a lot of fun, and so I'll be doing that. It's funny, with the last name McGinn, I actually was volunteered to work the bar one of the days, so I have to like pour, you know, your Greek wine and you know, all sorts of beers and stuff. I think we were typecasted, my brother and I, but it should be a really good times, and so I'll be quite busy. Hopefully some pictures to follow.
So it goes to the bar. Yeah, for me it's an off weekend, so I'm very excited. Jordan and her mom are going out on Saturday, so me and Beck have a weekend. Are actually a boys' day on Saturday. I don't know what the hell we're going to do yet. We're going to do something fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, once again, Colby's birthday on Thursday. Don't forget to wish him a happy birthday on Twitter at Dr. Colby Carino. Go and buy American Tiger shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino. Hey, make sure you follow us on Twitter at King Carino, at DMcG4881. See, I got it. And, you know, my website, worldofcarino.com, also the PWF. The Twitter is at PWF Legacy, and also the website, prowrestlingpwf.com. If you live in Eastern North Carolina and listen to the show, and by the looks of it, you don't, we're giving away 2 free tickets if you buy a PWF t-shirt from prowrestlingtees.com. So it's like getting a shirt for free. It's pretty freaking awesome. You got any cheap plugs?
I do. Place to Be Nation, of course, always things going on. You can read my Raw recap each and every Monday night, actually into Tuesday morning, if you will. That's kind of the untouched, the uncut edition. And then eventually the pencil pushers go and make the edits and fix my spelling, which is always a challenge when I'm writing things at midnight. But you can always check that out. The Raw review, basically not too much longer after Raw ends, that Raw review comes out, and I think you'll like it. There's a lot of different, you know, one-liners and all kinds of stuff in there. It's a different perspective. I'm not gonna just bash things all the time just for the sake of it, unless it's something involving the Bellas, but that's another story for another day. Also, this just came through right before we started recording, the Titans of Wrestling podcast. These guys do all kinds of old school stuff, Parv, Pete, Kelly, those guys. They actually had an interview with Ivan Koloff talking about his career. That's episode number 34 of the Titans of Wrestling podcast. Check that out. That is definitely a great get for them. And you won't want to miss out on that. And, of course, the Amazon banner is always a big thing with these podcasts. But certainly, if you're going to do some shopping, go to us first, click on that banner, do your shopping. It kicks back a little bit to the Place to Be Nation, so we can keep putting on all these great shows for you for free. So that's placetobenation.com. Use that Amazon link and read the Raw review. You might like it.
Yeah, definitely, you know, support the product. That's all we're asking for. Hey, we'll be back next week for a great show. I don't know who the hell the guests will be, but I'll think of somebody. And if not, we'll always go to Mr. Wrestling 3. So, hey, for Dan McGinn, this is Steve Carino, and we will see you next week right here on The Steve Carino Show.
Thank you for listening to The Steve Carino Show. Download the new episode every Friday at placetobenation.com. I had to eat this money, so it's spent. I threw in braids. I wasn't paid enough. I kept them on because I couldn't afford a haircut. I got laughed at. I got jumped. I got